you're up. I'm not giving a message next week. Jack's not giving a message next week. You are giving the message next week. Next week is Thanksgiving open mic. And so we're going to get your praise on Sunday. You're going to come in, and I want to hear what God has done in your life this week, in this year. So this is going to be something, maybe we'll do this each year, I don't know. In the church where I was raised, the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, because we went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, it was wide open testimony service. And we're going to try that this year. So this coming Sunday is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. I want you to be thinking this week, what testimony can you share to encourage everyone next week? So that's coming up, and I'm excited about that. Well, we've been on a journey this year. We've got a banner hanging over here on the right. People, God's treasure, our treasure. And we're closing in towards the end of that series this year. And we have talked about treasuring one another and treasuring those who are not yet one another's here. We've talked about reaching in and reaching out this year. And we kicked off the whole thing with this poorly sketched diagram that I put together. And we talked at the blueprint for the year. This year was the left side of this was these relationships we've been talking about through the different series and discipleship and things like that. But the right side of this, that crude illustration of a sheep with a lion, the lion's the predator that we're supposed to guard against, right? We talked about raising up a new leadership team this year, which we've done. We've appointed ministry leaders. We've made progress in that area. Still have a long way to go from my standpoint of actually helping these people now lead. Now, I need to do more coaching and leadership development, but we're kind of taking steps, you know, here to make progress in this area of leadership. And this is the one topic we haven't talked about in the series yet, is leadership. And my subtitle for that is Stewardship of God's Treasure. That's what leadership is. Leaders are stewards of the people who are God's treasure. So we're going to talk about leadership today. And speaking of stewardship, here in your bulletin I've got a couple passages of Scripture and some notes for you there. And this first passage speaks to this exactly. Paul is speaking to the elders in Ephesus, and he says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." So here we see Paul telling these elders of the church to pay close attention to their own selves, that they're healthy, but also to the flock that God has given them charge of. And that's the charge of leadership, is to take care of others and to lead them well. And we want to talk about that today and explore that some. I think it's also interesting that we have the Trinity present in this verse. There's the Holy Spirit has raised you up as overseers. It's God's church. He owns it. And Christ's blood paid for it. It's all there in that verse as we talk about leadership. But what I want to do now is I actually want to look at some classic leaders in the Bible. Kind of makes sense. Talk about leadership. But more than that, we're going to look at a pattern of the calling of leadership and what that looks like. When God shows up in the Old Testament or the New Testament and raises up a leader, there are a number of different ways that can happen. But you'll see there's a common theme, and we want to look at this. Number one, there's a purpose. There's something God wants to achieve in the earth. And he has a plan of action how to get that done. There's a calling that goes out to somebody to participate in that plan. Often there's a protest. "You got the right guy, Lord? Are you sure about that?" Then that person has been prepared. Little do they know how God has prepared them for that calling. And then that person then leads the people of God. And so we're going to take a look at these and kind of break these down across some different stories briefly here. Now, this is a grossly summarized timeline of different people that God has spoken to call and lead throughout Scripture. If we start with, let's say, Noah to Abraham, Moses, David, Nehemiah, Jesus, Paul, even Martin Luther, we'll give him some credit. You know, God's continuing to raise up and use leaders throughout. This is the 500th year of the Reformation, right? We talked about that a few weeks ago. But think about if you were God, and it says in Exodus chapters 2 and 3 and 4, when God is calling Moses, probably one of the most famous leadership calling passages in the whole Bible. What is God thinking? What's going through his head? He says that the cry of his people has reached his ears, and he is concerned for his people and the slavery that they're bearing in Egypt. So that's the scenario. God wants to deliver his people from Egypt. There's an action plan. Well, that's going to be a lot of logistics just to physically move that many people out of a country. But before that can even happen, he's got to work through the king, the Pharaoh, to get him to agree to let them go. And so there's a lot of dynamics that have to transpire for this answer to prayer to come to pass. And so he says, who can I pick to do that? It would be better than someone actually raised in Pharaoh's house, Moses. He is a Hebrew, but he's got this dual thing going on. He was a Hebrew, but he was raised in Pharaoh's house, and God picks Moses then to leave Egypt. That's the plan, right? And to save Israel. Well, if we look at these different people all along, Noah, Abraham, David, you know, God raised up David to lead a nation, to build the nation of Israel as a king. And so God is sovereign over human history as well. And when you look at the timeline of human history, there are things that God is trying to achieve in human history, but he chooses to do that through us, through agents of his purpose and plan. And when God appeared to Moses and gave him this calling, he said, you just step forth and I will make this happen. And we see that in a lot of these situations. Think about Jeremiah when he was called to be God's prophet. He said, open your mouth and, you know, I'll tell you what to speak. I'm going to send you to these people. I'm going to give you the words. And over, we see that when God has a plan, something that he needs to achieve, he picks a person to be that agent of carrying out his purposes and plans. There's also preparation. We talked about how Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house. When God called Gideon, Gideon says, so this angel shows up. Gideon's hiding, number one. An angel shows up and says, mighty man of valor. It's like, wait a minute. I'm from the smallest family in this wee little tribe. I'm the baby kid in my dad's family, which is the smallest of all the other families. What are you doing talking to me? Right? But God used the weak things to confound the strong, right? It's an amazing story. David was a shepherd. He was guarding the sheep. He was also a defender of the sheep. He was fighting off wild beasts who were coming after the sheep. And that heart of the protector and the warrior is exactly what God needed to shepherd his people, the nation of Israel. Paul, the apostle Paul, had the most amazing job to do. Because here for 1,000 years, God has been leading this one small branch of the global human family tree, this one special chosen people, to guard the message, the oracles of God, it says in Romans 3. And now Paul has the responsibility of taking that message and saying, it's not just for these people, it's for the entire world. It's for everybody. So who can you get that would have a foot in both of those worlds to talk to the Hebrew, the Jewish people, and also talk to the Greek and the Roman people at the same time? Paul was a Roman citizen, but he was also a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew the scripture inside and out. And he defended that scripture vehemently until God totally flipped him to the other side to become the great evangelist, the Apostle Paul. The disciples, uneducated fishermen. Uneducated, simple guys out there cleaning their nets. And Jesus says, follow me. Was there really? Well, these guys weren't prepared for anything at all, were they? Or were they? They were fishing for people. They were fishing every day, and they knew what it took to fish. And when Jesus says, I'm going to make you fishers of men, he spent 3 years showing them what that would look like. And so you might think that these uneducated fishermen were not prepared for the calling of leadership that God had for them, but in actuality, exactly the people God chose for that task. And so we'll see that as God has a purpose, he's got a plan, he's prepared some things in the lives of people to groom them for the calling that he has on their lives for leadership. Then there's the protest. Now, to be fair, as I was looking at this, you know, Noah, when God said, I need you to build a boat, Noah said, what's a boat? Noah did not say, what's a boat? I need a crew. He didn't protest this at all. Noah just went and did it. David, when David was anointed by Samuel, he didn't protest becoming king, unlike Saul. Then there was Paul, the Apostle Paul. He did not protest either. I guess if I saw a great light and was blinded for a few days and I heard God speaking to me, I don't know that I would have a lot to say back to that. But some people did. And Moses was the biggest one. Moses had 5 different objections that he gave to the Lord. Because some people, you know, you drag them, you know, kicking and screaming, that analogy. You know, God has this massive plan to deliver, to answer the cries of his people, to deliver them from slavery in Egypt. And he needs this man who is uniquely gifted, that God has been grooming for this task. And then he doesn't want to do it. The first thing he says is, who am I? You know, we got the burning bush thing going on, God speaking to him. And the first thing Moses says is, who am I? What are you doing with me? And then he says, who are you? Who should I tell them sent me when I do go? So who am I? Who are you? And then he says, well, they won't believe me. When I tell them this message, they're not going to believe me. Now, this is he's doing this all the while to the same God who took his serpent, his staff, and turned it into a snake. And then he picked it up. And you know, this is a really funny passage when you read the calling of Moses here. And God says, what do you have in your hand? He says, well, I got this stick. All right, throw that down. It turns into a snake, and Moses takes off running. He's like, oh my goodness, what's going on? He says, no, grab it by the tail. You're not supposed to pick up a snake by the tail. And he picks it up, and it turns back into a staff. Now the God that just did that is the one that he's also, you know, complaining to and whining to the whole time. You know, if God can do all these things, what business do we have? And then so finally Moses says, you know, I'm just not that eloquent. And God says, who do you think made your mouth? All right, this is the God of the universe showing up. There's how many new additional things do you need to prove the point? I'm going to be with you. I'm going to do this. I made your mouth. I'll give you the words. And Moses is like, can you just send somebody else? 5 different things Moses protested. But Moses was the man of the hour that God had planned to do this work. There's Gideon we talked about. Jeremiah says, I'm too young. We've all got excuses. Ananias, you think, wait a minute, Ananias, he's not, where? Who's Ananias? Ananias is the guy that God tapped on the shoulder and said, I want you to go talk to this guy who's staying down the road, and he's blind, and I'm speaking to him, and his name is Saul of Tarsus. He's like, oh, wait a minute, the guy, you mean you want me to go talk to the guy that's been putting Christians in jail? And hauling them off to court? No. And God says, yeah, that's the guy I want you to go talk to, because I am showing him how much he is going to suffer. And there was some suffering in the call of leadership as well. So there's many different ways that people receive this calling, and many times they're not as convinced that this God knows what he's talking about. The creator of the universe. Wait a minute, what do you want to do with me? Are you serious? Look at this mess that I'm in. You can't use this. God can, and he will, and he does when he calls for leadership. Now, the Jesus-style calling was a lot different than the angel showing up doing special tricks. Right? There was this one calling in the Old Testament where the angel shows up. Was it Gideon, I think? And so there's he puts an offering out there, and the angel takes the staff, and he says, watch this, and it just like bursts into flames, you know. There's all these amazing, miraculous things that happen in Old Testament callings when God is trying to get somebody's attention. But Jesus is really different. He just strolls down to the shore, is standing there on the pier watching these guys, and says, hey guys, follow me. No angels, you know. Of course, he's Jesus. He's the Son of God, right? But no big show, no big display. He says, follow me. Really chill, you know. Now, there's no big, what do you mean? What are you talking about? It's like, okay, yeah, we know this guy. We'll follow him. And it spends 3 years calling them to leadership, living life with them. We've talked about this in the discipleship series this year. And then he wraps it up with a bow in the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Okay, it's your turn to go and make disciples. So really laid back style of calling to leadership that we see with Jesus there. And then there's the people. We said that leadership is stewardship of people, God's treasure. So in every one of these scenarios, there's somebody that's being led. Noah led his family. His boys got some pretty good arms out of the deal, you know, hammering all day long. He had one of the beefiest, stockiest looking crop of sons. You know, I mean, he was leading his family. You got Abraham leading his family. Abraham was a rich dude. And God says, I want you to move south. You know, now God has not talked to Jack and I. We're not going to take the whole congregation and move everybody up to Canada or anything like that, right? But here, Abraham was called to move his family, and not realizing exactly what the scope of that really would mean for generations to come. How many different people did God raise up to lead the nation of Israel? All the different kings, the prophets, the priests that God raised up to lead the nation of Israel. Jesus led the 12. Paul led the Gentiles. That's kind of a big task. Hey, look, we've got all the Jewish people. You're responsible for everybody else. Wow. That's a lot of people to lead. All right. So in this whole formula of leadership, you have the person that God has called to lead and the people that they're responsible to care for. Just like this passage we read with Paul charging the Ephesian elders to look out for yourself, look out for the flock, and to take care of them. Now, this might come as a surprise to you, but not every person in the Bible was called to be a leader. Because there are a lot of people, named and nameless, in the Bible who were followers, right? And I want to be really careful as we talk about leadership today. I don't want to give you the impression that everybody at New Song is here to be a leader. That's just really not a fact of human nature, right? Whether we're at work or school or church or wherever we are in life, everybody can't be a leader. There are a few, but some of you are. Some of you are leaders. And I want to talk to everybody this morning, but specifically to those of you who are called to be leaders in this body of believers here. Some thrived in leadership. It wasn't everybody's call, but for those who it was their call, I mean, think about how the Apostle Paul embraced leadership. Now, he was known to complain a time or two along the way, but this man was a force to be reckoned with. You know, the King David was a force to be reckoned with. When people accept that call of leadership and God is behind them, pushing them, leading them, guiding them, there's a whole new level of relationship with God that comes with that call to leadership. And I don't say that to sound spooky spiritual, but there's when you step into that role of leadership, God meets you there with his provision. As he told every one of these people that he called to lead, he didn't just say, good luck, right? Go do this, talk to me in a couple weeks. No, he says, I'm with you. and I will give you the words to say. I will introduce you to the right people. God made these things happen. He just needed somebody who was willing to step with him in that calling. Now, some of you come every week, and you're content to come every week. But others of you are not content to come every week. You know that you are capable of more. And this is where Paul is talking to Timothy, and he says, it is a trustworthy statement if any man aspires to the office of overseer. It's a fine work that he desires to do. Some of you aspire to leadership. And again, not everyone, but some of you do. And I want to speak to those people this morning who aspire to lead and to be involved and to use your gifting in service. Deep down, you know you're capable of more. Some people can't just come and sit in a church every week. It would drive them crazy. They've got to be doing something, right? I wrote this down out of my notes. I usually don't put whole sentences on slides, but I wanted to read this exactly. Some of you have made an intentional choice to be here. You have chosen New Song as your place where you're going to plant your flag. And we recognize that as the leadership, and we want to give you the opportunity to demonstrate that in a way consistent with your gift and calling. So what I'm saying is, as Jack and I lead New Song, we recognize that God has brought people here that have gifting that he wants to use for this time and this place, for this season at New Song. What his purposes and plans are, we are clued in by the people that he brings to us and their gifting. It's fascinating when you think of it that way. So what level of ownership do you want? I want to talk now about some of the opportunities that we have here at New Song in leadership. So I think of it like a leadership ladder, and I don't want this to sound corporate or business at all, but there's just kind of a natural progression that people go through when they come to any church, including ours. They start off as an outsider. They're not here. There are people that God has called us to reach that are not here this morning. That's kind of the whole nature of the gospel. We're supposed to go bring them in. That's being missional, right? We were talking yesterday morning, there's attractional and there's missional. Attractional says we'll put up a big sign and hope they come. Missional says we're going to go get them because we're working with them. We're going to school with them. There are people in our lives that God has put us with that he wants us to reach. And so we start with outsiders and who then become visitors. Visitors will come in, they'll check things out, and they'll hear the message, they'll hear the music. But more than what we do in this hour and 15 minutes from 10 to 11:15, really what brought us to New Song, in addition to that, was what happens in the lobby for the half an hour before and the half an hour after. That's as much church as what we do in here. That's time, that fellowship with one another, encouraging one another, is as much and as valid as what we do in this room every Sunday. So then the visitor says, you know what, I kind of like these people. Kind of like what God's doing in their lives. I kind of like these people that have befriended me. And then they decide to hang around and they become an attender, kind of hanging out. This is kind of working for me. Then they become a member. Now, this step isn't really well defined right now at New Song. By virtue of how long you've been here, you're just kind of in. All right? We don't have a real membership. But Jack and I have been talking about this over the last year. And we'll be speaking to you more about this over the coming months, that we want to do something a little more formal with a membership here at New Song. So some of you who went through the last new members class, we get to the end of the class and there's nothing to sign. It's like, okay, you're in. You know, there's no real formal membership. We're going to change that up a little bit. And so we'll be speaking to you more about that later. And then once you're here for a while, you start to notice, hey, wait, somebody handed me a bulletin when I walked in the front door this morning. Somebody made coffee. Boy, that was good coffee. Somebody is teaching my kids in the Sunday school. And you start to notice, hey, there's a lot of people that are volunteering and making things tick on Sunday morning. I'd like to do that. And Lael, coordinates our quarterly schedule, and she would love to talk to you. If you would love to help in any one of these areas of helping volunteer and serve and make Sunday morning go, we would love to have your participation there. And so far, this is kind of a progression as people kind of come in and discover the church and find things out. But then there's the next level is where you actually get to leadership then. This year, we took a new step and we have raised up and appointed people who now we know who's in charge of women's ministry or who's in charge of men's ministry or the building, the grounds. And we've appointed now ministry leaders in these different areas. And those are spelled out in your bulletin notes there. So we have these ministry leaders. Also, one of the first things that Jack did when he came was excellent. He appointed deacons. So we have people to help the pastor share the load of ministry. Beyond that, we have the board, Ron and Todd and myself and Jack, who share financial and legal responsibility for the church. And then the elders, myself and Jack. Now, I want to be careful that it looks like this is a ladder that's climbing up, steps moving up. And in a way it is. It simply is it's an acceptance of greater responsibility. But what you need to understand is the farther you climb this ladder of leadership, there's an inversely proportional line that goes the other way in death to self. Because as God calls you to put others ahead of yourself, it takes some grooming and some preparation, like we talked about with these other leaders in Scripture, of learning to put others' needs before your own. So while it might look like there are steps up, it's actually a rather humble walk to receive that authority and that responsibility to be responsible for God's people. So this is kind of like a leadership ladder. And I want to be careful also to note here that I'm not saying this is how it has to work every time, but it just seems to be the natural way that things progress. When people come in, they decide, hey, I like this place. And then they decide to stick around, and then they want to get involved. And so what we're saying is that there's lots of opportunities if you'd like to be involved. So here are some of our volunteer areas. If you'd like to plug in, especially some of our newer families that are here, we recognize that especially with little ones, you may not have a lot of disposable time that you have to give and serve, but we would love to see you plug in, find some place where you can serve. So where your giftings are being used and you feel that you're able to give back some. I know that was important for us when we came to New Song. So here we've got Sunday school, nursery, music, you know, audio, video, all kinds of things. As many times as I've asked for somebody to own the church website, we've never had somebody step up for that. I would really like somebody that's gifted in the area of internet stuff to help us with the church website too. So lots of areas where you can volunteer and make an impact, and I've listed some of those. Here are ministry leadership areas. We have people serving in most of these roles. They're not all filled, but we have this year taken some time to appoint people who are responsible for leading in these ministry areas, and they've done a good job this year. We've tried not to have too many meetings and jam everybody's calendars with just meetings instead of actual ministry so that people are free to serve and lead in those areas. But these are the areas, you know, things like hospitality, secretary or administration, special events, then all the different relationship categories, men, women, singles, married, you know, kids, teens, prayer, outreach, discipleship, all these different areas that we really want to delegate and share that leadership responsibility. Now, I've cited Romans chapter 16 multiple times from the front. I know that I share this passage at least once a year probably. This is another one of my favorite passages because this is Paul's list of ministry partners at the end of the book of Romans. And you know, I noticed something about this list as I was looking at it yesterday. Remember, Paul's call from God was to take the gospel to all the other people that were not Jewish, all the Gentile people. Where do you even start with that? Really, where do you even start with that? It's fascinating And there's so much more I could say about in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. I've talked about that some in the past. We'll talk about that maybe some coming up this Christmas as well. But it's amazing the way there was the Silk Road that ran from Spain to China. There was commerce. There were pathways that were carved out over the previous few hundred years before Jesus entered the picture. There was a common language of Greek and Latin that were used across the Roman Empire. There was an empire that was dominating and exporting culture globally at the time in the Romans. And in the midst of that, where there was a level of unity and the ability to communicate and travel in ways that there never had been before, in the midst of the fullness of that time, God sent his son into that mix, where it was the most likely scenario that that message would be able to travel to every person in the world outside of the Jewish family. So look at this list of 35 names. How many of these names look Jewish to you? Tryphena, Lucius, Tertius. Do these names at all sound Jewish to you? No. Maybe Mary on the first column there. All right, we'll give that one. She slipped in. These are people who were complete newcomers to Christianity, who heard the call of God, they recognized the truth of the message, and they gave their lives to help serve with Paul in leadership and to take the gospel. So I don't want you to think that I've only been a believer for a year or 3 years. What can I really offer? These were people who were brand new to the message of Christ. And they were transformed by that message and empowered by the Holy Spirit to take this message with Paul to a bunch of people who had never heard that message before. That's fascinating. That's fascinating. That means there's room for even newcomers to have a place of significant impact in the leadership of taking the gospel. Well, this is what our list looks like here at New Song. This is our Romans chapter 16. This is the list. I'm not going to take time to read every single name. These are our present ministry leaders here at New Song. And this would be that big list of all those ministry areas. And then from there, we have our deacons, 6. Then we have the board, there's 4. Then we have the elders, that's Jack and myself. Now, for those of you who are new here, in our church, we use elder, pastor, overseer. We kind of wrap that all into one bundle, the same title, effectively. So pastor, elder, we'll use that interchangeably. So these are the present leadership roles that we have here at New Song. One thing that's important to point out as an important dynamic of leadership is succession planning. Who will come next? Moses invested in Joshua. I love that line where it says that Moses would meet in the tent with God. And when they were done, Joshua would just kind of linger behind to soak up the Lord's presence. He was at the feet of Moses. He was shadowing Moses. He was there with him the whole time, watching as Moses was speaking with the Lord and leading the people. And through that, he was groomed for leadership, just like Jesus spending 3 years with the disciples. David had his son Solomon that he handed the keys over for Israel. Elijah had Elisha, his mentee prophet, who was following him and ministering together before it was turned over to Elisha then to take and lead. Paul had many disciples, including Timothy. Paul, at the end, was writing to Timothy and giving him kind of, here's my last notes on things you need to think of in 1st and 2nd Timothy, these letters, things how to lead as an apostle. Jesus with the 12. So Jesus says, all right, guys, I'm out of here. It's your turn. Go, make disciples. So what does that look like for New Song? Now, before I put this next slide up here, women get really awkward when you try to talk about age, things like that. Guys, not so much. All right. But here's the reality of the situation. In 10 short years from now, 4 of our 6 core leaders will be almost or past the age of 70. And I don't say that in a negative way at all. It's actually a very positive thing. Because as we were talking yesterday morning at a breakfast meeting, there's the no hairs or the gray hairs. You know, God has a very special role for elders to lead and to lead well. And we value and treasure the age and the experience and the wisdom. And so I'm looking forward to having an older leadership set. However, who's going to come after them? We're not saying that they're, you know, once you hit 70, you're out the door for leadership, and that's not it at all, right? But Jack and I had our birthday recently. Some of you know Jack and I share the same birthday in October. The only difference is it's about 16 years apart. So I just turned 47. Jack just turned 63. And 7 years from now, Jack's going to be 70. And he may, you know, God may take him to the other side of the globe again and do all kinds of ministry, or he may choose to, you know, camp here for the rest of his career. Who knows where God's going to lead Jack? Jack's happy. Okay, I don't want you, this is not like the message Jack's leaving, all right? That's not it. Jack's good, all right? He's here, he's happy, he's with the Lord. But at some point, there's going to need to be a new Jack, right? Well, God has brought me kind of into that role for now. I'm kind of like Joshua serving with Moses over here, right? So, in a good way now, in a good way, yeah. No, seriously, I do want to say this. I have really enjoyed this last year serving as co-pastor with Jack. To sit in meetings with him and as we talk and as we plan, just to hear the wisdom of the years of ministry, of him laying down his life. I was actually meeting with somebody this week in the church, and they said, you know, I've never met anybody else like Jack who really has laid down their life for the cause of Christ. And we want to raise up more people like that here at New Song. This is our charge as leaders, is to bring forward other leaders. And so if you feel that nudge from the Holy Spirit, or maybe you had an angel show up in your room last night and do some really cool magic tricks with fire and staffs and snakes and stuff, I don't know. But if God is speaking to you about leadership, we want to help you grow, and to give you some opportunity to step in and use those gifts. When I came to New Song, it was about 5.5 years ago. Oh, here's one other thing to point out. Look at this list of the 6 senior leaders here at New Song. How many of these people have been here for 10 years? 2? Right? Ron and Todd? Myself, Jack, Mike Spurlock, Paul Maxim. We've all come within the last 6 years at New Song. 10 years from now, think about who are all the other new people God can bring in that same amount of time and raise them up to make productive leaders for the kingdom. So I thought that was fascinating when I looked at this list, because when I came, I remember watching Chris Phillips as he was working a full-time job and he was doing the message every week, and most weeks he was leading worship, and he was really stretched. And at the same time, my family was looking a year and a half to try to find the right church that fit us, where God had us to serve. We were really desperate to find the right place, the right body of believers. It was a real search and a real struggle for us. And I remember coming and seeing this stuff that happens in the lobby before and after church. And people actually talked to us and wanted to know what our names were, and it was fantastic. These are great people. Hey, let's come back next week. And here now I'm co-pastor. It's kind of amazing to see that happen in 5 years. But I remember having lunch with Chris at that time and saying, you know, Chris, when I look around, the Spurlocks had come shortly after we did. You know, Jack came shortly after the Spurlocks. And I had this conversation with Chris. I said, Chris, what do you think God is saying the New Song in the people that he's brought? Because God has heard prayers We pray, you may not realize this, leaders have a special secret prayer. Is God send more leaders, right? He said, give us, help us, right? And so God is answering those prayers, and God is continuing to send us new people here at New Song with gifts that we need. And the question I always like to ask is, okay, God, what are you saying in the people that you're bringing to New Song, in the gifts that they bring? Where are you leading us? What are you calling us to that will be able to use the gifts of those people in the kingdom? Because I've had this conversation with other people who have told me, we could have just, and we thought the same thing. I was a worship leader for about 20 years before we came here, and my wife and I have had the conversation before. It's like, wouldn't it be nice just to go to some church and just kick back and just kind of blend in and nobody knows who you are, and you're not having to carry guitars every Sunday morning and all this, And we tried that. We went to a fantastic church, a massive church. It didn't work for us. We weren't fulfilled. We weren't satisfied. We weren't using the gifts that God has given us. And I know there are people here this morning just like that. I can't stand to just come and sit. I've got to use the gifts that God has given me. Because we, New Song, needs you, and you need New Song, the body. We need one another. And there's a place for that. So I always ask this question when I see newcomers who decide to stay. Okay, God, thank you. That's a gift. Thank you for these people who have decided to come, and we want to help them get plugged in, to make connections, to build relationships, and learn and discover what their giftings are and where they can plug in, be part of this purpose that you've called us to, our vision to glorify God as an ever-increasing circle of love where there's always room for one more, our mission to follow Christ in every aspect of life. And as Great Commission churches, one of our core values is that every member should be a minister. Again, that doesn't mean that it has to be some upfront leadership role, but everybody should be ministering to one another in some capacity. And we value that. So we began this message talking about how God sovereignly over time looks at the purpose and the things that he needs to achieve and work in the hearts of men and the affairs of history. And there are people that he taps and raises up to do that. And God has purposes here at New Song. There are people in this community that need the light that we have to bring into that darkness. And there are people here this morning that are the church that God has brought together to do that. And we want to help you discover your gifting, your calling, and to join with you as we together partner with God. Because as Jack has said multiple times, Jack and I are the shepherds, but there's a chief shepherd, Christ, and we're just following him. And so he is the one who's leading and calling and guiding his body, and we are following in his footsteps. We have a very simple plan to follow the word and do what it says. And it makes it really easy to take our orders from the top that way. So we want to see that you've got a place here in New Song. If God is speaking to you about leadership in some capacity, please talk to us. So here are the four things I'd like you to pray about today. This is in your bulletin notes there. Pray for us, your leaders, as we pray for you. A couple weekends ago, Jack and I took some time away over Friday and Saturday, and literally I printed a list of every person in the church, and I cut out all the names with my little scissors. And we had 119 little pieces of paper with everyone's name here at New Song. And we did exactly what Paul told the Ephesian elders to do, to consider, to care for, look after the flock, to take inventory of who is here, who is God has brought to us, and to pray for them. So we take that seriously, and we ask that you would pray for us as we lead, but also that pray that God would raise up additional leaders. There's always more work to do, right? There's always more opportunity. And if you feel like that your gift is not being used or you've not seen where you can plug in, please come and talk to me or Jack. Because we don't want you to sit on gifting and that grows stale and then you get discouraged. We want to see you come alive. Because I tell you, there have been times in this last year where God has met me. And I've actually heard this from someone else on our leadership team shared with me recently. They said, you know, I didn't think that I could do this, but God has met me in this and given me the grace for this. It's really, really amazing. So pray that God would raise up additional leaders here. And pray that all of our members would hear and obey God's voice in whatever role they're in, whether they're a visitor or a newcomer, an attender, a member, whether they're on the board, whatever role, volunteering, handing bulletins or greeting people, whatever role, they're working this computer, the soundboard in the back, pray that every one of us would hear and follow the chief shepherd and obey in that. And finally, as I've said already, if God has tapped you on the shoulder and talked to you, put something on your heart about leading or volunteering or serving here, come talk to us. And there's a really easy way to do that. You can just actually talk to us after the service. Or you can look in your bulletin notes here. That I have some notes of ministry areas. When you look at this list of ministry areas, is there something that really perks your interest, that you feel like God has called you to that area to serve? You have some gifting maybe that's not being used. We would love to help you really come alive in your relationship with the Lord and experience what it is to serve and to lead. So in your bulletin, we have these little tan connect cards. Just put your name on there. And then on the back side, you say, I am interested in serving in this ministry area. And you can write a note there. Just drop that in the offering basket here that we're going to pass in a few minutes. Write down your name, what area you'd like to serve, something that God's put on your heart. Or you can just actually talk to us the old-fashioned way. In the bulletin are my phone number and Jack's phone number, our email addresses. You can text us, you can email us, you can talk to us. We'd love to talk to you. So, leadership, wow, it's a special calling to know that God has a purpose that He is looking to achieve among His people, and He wants you to do that. He wants you to be part of that. It really is a special thing. And again, there's no pressure that everybody is supposed to sign up to be a leader today, but some of you God is speaking to, and we want to make sure that you feel the liberty to begin to use that and to see it developed and to come and join us in leading so that we can, you know, we talked about this 5 to 10 year window. We do need fresh leadership. We've talked about this for the last 2 years in deacons meetings, that we want more younger people involved in leading the church and serving. And so if that's you, come talk to us and please pray for us as we pray for you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time in your word this morning. And I thank you that it's amazing that when you call someone to serve and to lead, you don't just send them out on their own, but you prepare the way for them. You have put things in their heart and in their life to prepare them for that calling, that leadership, Lord. And you have... And then you go before them, you make the way, you make the connections, you give them the words, you give them... And God, I thank you for how you've met me in this last year as I've stepped out as an elder and a pastor, Lord. No one of us believes that we have everything we need to do the calling. It's very clear from your word, Lord. But I thank you that you have met me here, and I know that you've met others there. And for those who would step up, Lord, that you will meet them as well by your Holy Spirit to lead them and guide them. And so we thank you for the stories over and over in your word that you've given to assure us that when we answer the call to leadership, that you will meet us there. And then amazing things happen. It's an adventure to see what God will do with a yielded heart. And Lord, I am excited about what you're doing here at New Song, and the leaders and the gifting that you've brought to us, Father. And I pray that you would help us to be good stewards of your treasure. In Jesus' name, amen.